Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel good. Amen. Thanks. We're all alone now. Just family. Rest is off. No strange faces. Amen. I can't believe it. I got Brother Ray, Brother Kyle, Brother Jones, all in one church.
Amen.
You believe that?
Amen.
And my people will tell you that over a year ago it was a dream.
Amen.
And I told them, see, I tell them everything. I spill my guts, that's one of my problems. I told them, I said, oh, I want to get them all together. God did it.
Yeah.
Amen. God must love me.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. I believe it. So now we can relax and worship God. And,
amen.
You know, Brother Kyle, I hated asking him to go first. You know what it's like. And he had some strange people out there.
Yeah,
I did. But I think he did an excellent job.
Amen.
And so now he can relax and preach to believers. And let us pull out of him everything he's got.
All right. Amen.
And we won't stop till he drops up here.
Amen.
He'll wish he was home.
Amen.
But I am so happy and I feel relieved. And part of the vision has come to pass, but we still have tonight. And maybe tonight will be the best one yet.
Amen.
So I'm just glad to have you with us and feel so good, and I am expectant, you know.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit's going to have just a welcome spirit tonight.
Amen.
And,
Amen.
You know, I believed and I told our church that no matter what came, we, our faith, had to have dominion over
right.
all spirits that came,
right.
that they would not hinder, but that God's will would be done. And I believe that our faith lived up to that.
Amen.
Amen. Would you stand? We want to offer up prayer for Harry Alley. Sister Susie's husband has a bad cold, allergy symptoms. Also seems to be kind of depressed. If my wife was gone, I'd be depressed too. So we want to pray for him. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we love you and praise you for what you've done for us. We thank you, Lord, for the dedication and how beautifully it went. Lord, it went beyond expectations. It went beyond, I'm sure, what we prayed, what we asked for. You give more exceedingly abundant, Lord, than all that we ask. How we praise you and thank you, Lord, tonight. How we love you. Now, Lord, we're relaxed and among friends. Now, Lord God, come and really feel your freedom. Minister through Brother Ben and just open up his heart and just let it out, Lord. All he's got. And, Lord, we can handle it. We're believers. We're not afraid of the Word. We love it. It's our meat, Lord. It's our life. And it's our way out of this dimension. Oh, Lord, just give it to us. All that we can handle, Lord. Father, we want to commit to you, Harry. And, Lord, I know he's lonely right now. And I know, Lord, that you'll work on him for that very reason. That he might realize what he's got. And, Lord, just touch his body. Let this cold leave him right now. That it might be told to him that we pray for him at this very hour. And Lord, it was the prayers of the saints that delivered him. Oh Lord, we thank you for touching him. And Lord, just lift his spirits up and be with him. Many sick, Lord, among us over these meetings that I haven't prayed for specifically, but Lord, little Ben and Sister Sharon, I come to my mind, and Lord, I committed them in my heart to you. And we, Brother Reggie, Lord, with cancer, just found that out. But Father, we're not afraid of that. We're not afraid at all. Oh Lord, we believe in a miracle. And we do thank you, Father, for Brother Reggie's healing. Amen. And what glory, what honor you'll receive, Lord. How we love you and thank you. Oh, Father, just come now and be with your bride. Tell us those love secrets, Lord. If the others don't want to hear, Lord, we want to hear. Oh, just let our heart burn, Lord. And just give me something that I can put my thoughts aside all the more. Lord, just form us into your image. Let that expression come just the way you see it, Lord, perfectly. Don't let us mess it up, Lord. Everything that you see, your thoughts, your vision, just let it happen accordingly. Oh, Lord, how we love you and praise you. Bless us now, Father, as we commit ourselves to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. You may be seated.
Brother Branham here! You know why? He brings the same name all in!
Yeah.
Hallelujah! Amen. Right on our way to Brother Branham's room, we'll pass Paul!
Yeah.
Amen! It's real!
Yeah.
Amen! What do they want to talk about all that time? The mystery.
Yeah. Amen!
Yes, thank millions of testimonies. And we won't mind sitting through every one of them.
That's
the truth. And the sermons that have been preached here by inspiration.
Oh,
and the video that theophany is.
Yeah, amen.
Will you get together and say, Lord, what sermon you want us to hear today? And quicken of God, he'll cause it to see it. Amen. You know, I don't want to get my wife going here. But, you know, I know Brother Gregory's leaving tomorrow morning.
Is that right?
Yeah, against God's will, but he's going anyway. You know, them Aquarians, they're hard-headed.
They are, yeah.
They're just hard-headed. Amen. I'll pray for God's grace. I'll pray for him. Oh, God, lay it not against his charge. You know what? I don't want him to leave.
No. Amen.
You know, and I know come Wednesday I'm not going to want Brother Ben to leave. And, but you know, I do many times. I told my people over there, I just see over on the other side us getting together.
Oh,
you know, over there we'll never part. Over there we'll never part. We'll never have to part no more. And, you know, I think we're spiritual men. We know we got our own battles. We got our own.
Yes.
We got our own ministry. We got the will of God, the Father's business for each one of us. And it's different.
That's right.
And I just thank God for the opportunity to come together like this.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
You know, and you know, I just love the Lord, and I don't want to end. And if I didn't have so much faith in me to say that it never will end, then I can say my temporary goodbye. Amen.
Amen.
Final. Amen. Final. Don't you love him?
Amen.
Give us another one, brother. Lift your weary head, my child, and fly away with me to a place of which you've dreamed before but never thought you'd see. Where the past is all forgiven and innocence is free. Lift your head, my child, and fly away with me. You've grown so old so quickly, living only for today. Integrity, serenity, you've lost along the way. The forgotten childhood treasures and sweet abandoned dreams waiting joy for you. Come fly away with me. All the time you've wasted on yourself has tied you down, but my love has cut those ropes to set you free. The bitter tears you've tasted will be diamonds in your crown. kiss my child and fly away with me. I know that you don't understand how life begins again, but trust me now, don't be afraid, I've paid for all your sin. The life that I've poured out for you has restored your purity. Lift your head, my child, and fly away with me. All the time you've wasted on yourself has tied you down, but my love has cut those ropes to set you free. The bitter tears you've tasted will be diamonds in your crown. So rejoice, my child, and fly away with me. Lift your weary head, my child, and fly away with me to a place of which you've dreamed before but never thought you'd see, where the past is all forgiven and innocence is free. Lift your head, my child, and fly away with me. Lift your head, my child, and fly away with me.
Amen. 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 Maybe by the end of the week, Brother Ben can get us off the ground. Amen. Brother Gregory, on a previous visit, preached a very, very outstanding message called The Eagle's Moping Season. And Sister Susie wrote a song, and we want her to sing it while Brother Gregory's here. Just to let you come.
Oh, little eagle down in the sky, hear your mama cry, spread your wings. That little eagle is born on a rock, high up in the sky, he'll die on that rock. One day mama says, let's go for a ride, feel us glide, don't look down. Soaring through the sky, got the sun in my eye, but then she drops me down, hear me scream. Oh, mama, what you doing to me? Surely I'll fall, no sun can't you see? Oh, little eagle down in the sky, hear your mama cry, spread your wings. That little eagle grows stronger every day, wide wings of faith high up in the logos. Then one day he's feeling low, got nowhere to go, tangled in the wilderness. My mama told me that sin will make you hard, dry up your eyes till you can't praise your God. Never got so low I can't see my rock. This word will never leave me. It's so small, just a speck in my eye, but I hear a cry. Oh, brother eagle down in the dark, hear your brother cry, arise and eat, won't you? Now, my brother, I'm flying o'er your head, throwing down fresh meat. take and eat. The road ahead is a hard road. I'm coated and stiffened with sin. But I'll walk and I'll crawl and I'll scratch my way home. I'll never fall there again. Oh, my rock, it's good to be home, crying here alone, high up in the Logos. Flying out in faith, I kill my own prey. Taste the fresh, sweet blood, remembering my dark day, remembering my brother back there. Now, my brother, I'm flying over your head, throwing down fresh meat, take and eat. Oh, brother eagle down in the dark, hear your brother cry, arise and eat, won't you? Oh, my brother, you're feeling low, but listen to me screaming and shouting. Oh, my brother, you're lost in your blues, but no way, I'm better, 'cause I've been there too. Oh, brother eagle down in the dark, hear your brother cry, arise and eat, won't you? Oh, brother eagle dry in the eye, praise your rock and cry, spread your I can't do it. keep on screaming. Please don't stop screaming at me. I can't sit still, I can't sit down. I just want to dance around your name. I just want to sing, I just want to shout. I just want to talk about your name. You know we're subject one to another. Face to face, we're Christ to Christ. Do I look for Jesus in my brother? Do I wash his feet and pay the price? Though his throat grows sore and his spirit worn, he keeps on screaming. He just keeps on screaming. Please don't stop screaming at me. I can't sit still, I can't sit down. I just want to dance around your name. I just want to sing, I just want to shout. I just want to talk about your name. I just want to glorify your name.
Brother Gregory, Brother Tiller, Brother Niall, keep on screaming.
Amen.
Don't ever stop.
That's true.
Till the Virgin leaves you.
That's right.
Then what can we say? The world be shut. When our heart says it, there won't be no pressure on the inside. It's got to get out. Amen. I pray that, you know, they're all in. I believe they will be. But just keep on screaming. Amen. Why don't you be seated?
My Lord.
Now, worship went a little long tonight, but I hope you don't mind. I didn't mind. I feel good. I no anxiety, no pressure. And I'm ready to be fed.
Oh, amen.
You know, I just, you know, who knows? Paul may go get Brother Branham and come down the hall to our room.
Yeah.
You ever think of that? I'll say, oh no, you have the wrong room. Brother Dial down there. Amen. It'll be so good over there. Amen. He's bound to say something about it. I just feel it. Brother Dial, come. Feel your freedom, and that clock don't work, so, amen.
That's all right.
Shall we all stand?
Yes.
Let's sing our Bibles tonight. It's in Luke chapter 23.
Thank you.
Is everyone happy tonight?
Amen. Amen, brother.
We're going to begin reading from verse 1. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidden to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king." And Pilate asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he answered him and said, "Thou sayest it." Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, "I find no fault in this man." And they were the more fierce, saying, "He stirred up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place." And his first pull started in Galilee. That's where he entered into the synagogue and identified himself in the scripture. And now he's coming to his third pole. He was in Jerusalem. The end of his ministry. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he was desirous to see him for a long time, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war treated him with contempt and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends together. You know, Brother Bram says, he said the Roman was goats. The Roman goats led the lamb to the slaughter. And Jesus called Herod a fox. So here the fox and the goat became friends to reject the lamb. Amen. For before there was enmity between themselves, and Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, you have brought this man unto me as one that perverted the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things of which you accuse him. No, nor yet Herod. I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done by him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, away with this man, release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spoke again to them. And they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were urgent with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required, and released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon of Cyrene, coming from the country, and on him they laid a cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people, and of women, who also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming, in which they shall say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore, and the breast which never nursed. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for the prayer.
My Lord.
Our gracious Father, Lord, we're so thankful for the time that we have spent thus far in your presence, the meetings that we have had, and Lord, the way that you have come down and granted the desires of the hearts of the people. And Lord, showing you have accepted your sacrifice. And Lord, we are so thankful to know that, Lord, you care for your people, Lord. And it was you that put these things into their hearts, that they might bring back the sacrifice unto you. And then, Lord, you came with your presence and you honored it. Lord, we appreciate these things, to see such a wonderful unity of the Spirit, Lord, and blessing just flowing so freely. And Lord, we pray tonight, Lord, as we will just spend this little while in your presence, the Holy Spirit will just impress upon our hearts your thoughts of this present hour.
Yes.
The things that are so needed in our lives at this time, Father, that we can leave this place and we can go pondering the word in our hearts, Lord, because that deep desire in us is to do thy will. Lord God, to make ourselves so completely available unto you that we can see the evidences of preeminences being made manifest in and through our lives for your honor and for your glory. Bless us tonight. Bless everyone that's gathered here, Father. Grant us rest. And may you be seen and felt and be so close amongst us tonight, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
You may have a seat. Amen. We greet everyone tonight in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And certainly, we're just thankful to be here again, speak to you, and, you know, just the home crowd tonight. And we certainly did enjoy the time of dedication and worship unto the Lord Jesus. Truly, it was a blessing to be here. And well, I'm going to remain, but then Gregory and some of the saints have already left. He and his wife believe in the morning. And you know, we're so glad to meet them and to have fellowship with them and to hear him preach the gospel. Amen. Amen. I had the opportunity to preach together with him in Tucson, Arizona in April last year, and it was a real tremendous blessing. And as I think you mentioned last night, that inviting him to come to Trinidad, and I know he will be a real blessing to us there.
Right.
Amen. But Sharon promised to come with him, so that'll be a double portion. Amen. And you know, we certainly appreciate, you know, the brothers willing to make that type of a sacrifice, even to be with us as the Lord would have it. And also, Brother Earl, this morning, you know, I was just thinking about these two Earls, you know, Earl of Missouri and Earl of Fairborn. And you know, that's how they might have called them back in the Bible. And certainly it has been a real blessing to us even to be in the service this morning. You know, and I think there's Brother Bill was telling me that, you know, the new brother coming just recently into the message, I think it was Brother Gregory's assembly, he was here, he used to be in the army or something like that. You know, and how he's really so happy this morning, and he's just coming along with the word. And I was just riding back in the van, and I was telling him, I says, you know, when he saw me, that army sergeant, you know, storm the place this morning and say, shoot them down, you know, kill them, run them out, you know. You know, I say, you might have feel real at home, you know. And it might be a type of environment, you know, that God can really reveal and quicken the word to him. You know, God reveals things to us in the environment that he places us in. Things to us that we are familiar with. And it's just the way God does things. And you know, to see how the Holy Spirit upon the prophet, you know, speak to farmers and speak to mechanics and speak to doctors and speak to scientists. And you know, in there, God using the terminology of everyone, you know, to reach every person and bring that same revelation of Jesus Christ to all of us. And you know, knowing that the past few services you know, we had sort of a mixed crowd, I should say. You know, the family of many of the saints designed to come and to hear the testimonies. So many years, you know, they look forward to this time and all that they had in their heart that God granted unto them. You know, truly, I'm thankful to know that the Lord could just give us the desires of our hearts. Yeah. The Bible says when we please the Lord, he grants us the desires of our hearts. And, you know, one thing I admire here very much is the relationship between the pastor and the congregation. Is that, you know, it's like actually Brother Shannon's own children.
Right.
You know, and, you know, it's like one family, and the respect and the relationship, and it's so real and so free, and, you know, it's just a great inspiration. It just shows what the word, you know, could really achieve. You know, when people would just lay aside everything and just let the word have the preeminence. And then, you know, you can find that rest and enjoy that blessing. I have a little thought tonight. We're going to preach something else, and I thought it might be too long and might go too deep, especially when we have two services in one day. So just maybe might take it like a little drama, but just keep it right in the present season, you know, because we can take any scripture and preach Jesus Christ. Amen. Especially Jesus Christ in this hour.
Amen.
You know, and to see the whatever we are going through right now, there is somebody in the Bible went through it before us. There's nothing that we are going through now that somebody didn't go through before us. And many times, you know, people seem to be out of touch, you know, with exactly what God is doing. And they say, I know God is doing something. But you know, that's not a revelation. A revelation is knowing what God promised to do and recognize God doing that very thing. And then seeing what God promised to do actually being interpreted in our lives, that we can be identified personally with what God is doing. That gives the assurance. That let us know we are part of what is happening. That brings a real true identification to what God promised. You know, and the thing with the prophet, you know, to see that he was so under the inspiration, the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, when he came, he was talking about a different kind of leadership to what the Pentecostal people, you know, is acquainted with. Some people say, oh, God led me to do this, and God led me to do that over here, and God led me to do that, and I was led by God today, and yet they were never led into truth. But the Holy Spirit, when it comes, was to lead us and guide us into all truth. And then we saw the continuity of the Holy Spirit in the life of the prophet as he was coming from a word seed and being formed into the word image. And the ministry that was resident in him, which was the ministry of Jesus Christ, reincarnated in his bride in this day, to see how it was coming step by step by step. That the prophet could take the scriptures and prove it was Hebrews 13:8. Because God in the Bible, in his wisdom, recorded the ministry of the Son of Man in the Bible. He recorded the healing part. He recorded the part of discernment. He recorded the part with rebuking the organizations. He recorded the part with preaching the laws. God put all those things in the Bible, recorded it, knowing that there was a promise for that same ministry to return in the last days. So when that ministry appears, then it could take the scripture and prove it is the same ministry return and be made manifest again and producing every characteristic. Amen. And using the Bible as the authority. Amen. To identify that this is that ministry coming to pass again. Amen. And when we see that, what we actually having faith in is in the scripture.
Right.
We haven't, because that's the only place faith could really rest upon.
Amen.
Because we know in our hearts, heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or one tittle of this world shall in any wise fail.
Amen.
So when we look in the Bible and we see those things, you know, when the prophet started off, you know, there with healing, you know, it might look like just an evangelist with a gift like everybody else. But when the ministry changed and he began to bring the word and the voice of the sign began to come forth,
Amen.
Then we begin to see it taking a better shape. To actually bring something into view to us. Then we're going to see how the crowds that were falling begin to go back when the word began to come. And when people thought it was strange, when people thought, you know, well, maybe Brother Brown being washed up, that was the interpretation. Oh, he's washed up now. Look at him. If he had only taken our advice, if he had only, you know, maybe get on TV, if he had only, you know, follow the lead of the Lord, when the Lord, you know, put upon our hearts, maybe to invite him and tell him this and tell him that and tell him the other, you know. But he disobeyed. You remember one time he said, someone says, I was sent to lead Bill. You know, everybody had their revelations. But to see then that even when he came to that forsaken time, and they thought he washed up, and he says, thousands of letters are coming at one time. But no, there's 75 a week coming in. And when people all over the world were inviting him to an itinerary for 2 years, praying where to go, no, there wasn't a door open for him to preach. And even when he's given his own personal battles, and the devil is trying to tell him, you are a failure, God can't trust you. That's why you can't have a place like Oral Roberts. That's why you can't have a place like Tommy Osborne. And the devil is going to fight him with these things. Yet as a man with a desire in his heart to glorify Jesus Christ, yet, you know, seeing in the scriptures that this ministry, you know, is always identified with the word, was ministered to him by an angel. And he was following something. And when that time came and people, you know, got disillusioned and went away and the crowds began to leave him. And many people, you know, thought that maybe he's seemingly a failure in the ministry. He could go back to the Bible and showed,
right,
according to the scripture, that was an appointed time and scene that had to come also.
Right.
So that was also a further vindication that he had that true ministry. So faith don't necessarily lie in things that seem like just blessings. You see, when Jesus had to come to the cross and it began to reveal to him that the work he had to do at one season in his ministry was finished, he would say, I have to go to every city and preach the gospel. And he'd go from city to city. And he'd read in the Bible and Mark different places. He, like a servant there, he was praying day and night, he prayed until morning. See, and that he had compassion for the sick. And how he went out there in that healing ministry. with an anointing for healing, that he identified the Spirit of the Lord upon me to bind the broken heart, to set the captive free, to give sight to the blind. That anointing for healing was upon him. I said, go and tell John the lame walk, the blind to the deaf hear, the poor the gospel preach unto them. Because he understood that first phase of his ministry so correctly. But when the time came, and one day, you know, he wanted to see, you know, where to see that fall. He was telling him a sow went forth to sow. And that sow, he was the sow, he revealed the parable to them. It was himself he was talking about. Some people might think, well, maybe he's going to start an agricultural movement. He might have been in Nazareth, where it's a great farming town. And what's all the people there in farming and the sowers, you know, after they plow up the ground and they've been planting the seed, and inspiration struck him. And Jesus realized that is him. Right. He had the seed, the word for the age. Right. And he's going from city to city preaching that gospel. Right. So maybe a sermon struck him and he came there and he began to preach. A sower went forth to sow. And the seed began to fall everywhere. You know, and the people could understand that terminology to break into what he was saying. And here it was, he was speaking to them in things that they were familiar with. See, yet there wasn't key action, the spiritual application, which was his own ministry, he was trying to bring to them to show them what the Holy Spirit was doing. And here he went, and he was preaching, laying that seed, you know, and saying, certain scriptures that testify of me. In them you think of eternal life. If I don't do the works, then I'm not the Messiah. Because he came and he saw every organization with a different conception as to what Messiah was going to be. Sadducees had one conception, the Pharisees had one conception. So here now, he was trying to show them, you believe the Bible, and you're looking for the promise of the Messiah, but go back and see what the scriptures say Messiah will do when he comes, and compare it with what I am doing, and see if I don't match the scripture. And if I'm matching that scripture, forget whether I belong to the organization, forget whether, you know, I've done in religious clothes or not. Watch and see if my life isn't bringing those Messiah promises to life. You see, but they couldn't understand the preaching that way. They said, where did this man get doctrine from? See, he preached a different way. But what was happening? You see, all along through the Old Testament, they're preaching, he is coming, he is coming, he is coming, he is coming. But yet John said, he's here. Hallelujah. And when Jesus came, he came now to take the scripture and identify himself in the Messiah promise. Hallelujah. And make the word personalized in his own life. That is the way he knew it. That is why it could have worked for him. He had faith in the knowledge that he was the predestined word made manifest. He knew the Bible was only a written record speaking of him, of his life, of his ministry. The thing that he must manifest to identify and prove he was the scripture one promise of the hour. So after that season sowing the word, he might have shown him who John was to correctly identify himself in the scripture. Because he knew the question that bothered many people. If he is the Messiah, where is Elijah? Even the disciples get trapped at one time. Amen. And the prophet says, John's own disciples didn't know him. Right. They say, Master, you know, he saw them one day kind of confused. Come into service and right away the word discern the hearts. He said, what's the matter? They said, we met some scribes today, you know, and they brought a scripture in the Bible. They say, if you are the Messiah, and Lord, we don't doubt it, but where is Elijah? And here they were baptized by Elijah. They were under Elijah ministry at one time. They were pointed to the full word. And they failed to recognize it. Even Elijah still had his own disciples still when the Son of Man was revealed. Because John sent his disciples to go and ask that man if he's Messiah. See? So you look at his setting back there. And while he was there, you know, they came and they was kind of confused. He showed them. He said, that was Elijah. And so they'll do the same thing unto him. So finally, after the sowing was over, because he had to get the seed in the ground, and knowing what part of the world he was, knowing the season in God's economy, he had appeared nor in the part of the word that was already lived out. And he knew that he was sowing seeds for a promise that was going to be manifested later on. Because the first doctrine he began to preach was you must be born again. Then St. John 4, he spoke to the woman well. All your innermost being will flow, a well of everlasting life. St. John 7, he came and spoke, all your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. St. John 20, breathing the mission of the Holy Ghost. Acts 1, he said that many days of now shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. Before he ascended in St. Luke 24, he told them, he says, go and tarry in Jerusalem, you shall receive the promise of my Father. So his entire ministry, he knew the purpose why he came. Was to make available that promise of joy. But now no Old Testament teacher could have taken Deuteronomy 18:15, of God raised up a prophet like unto me, and tie it into Isaiah 53, like a lamb done before shearers, and tie it into Joel 2:28. They couldn't tie all those things into one person to know that how those promises will actually come to pass. That to actually receive Joel 2:28, you have to recognize the prophet of Deuteronomy 18:15. Right. His life is to make that promise available. Amen. See? Right. But when Jesus came, he began to take the scripture, and he was preaching, and he's laying those seeds in, going from city to city. Then finally, when that teaching reign was over, when he had shown him the edge, when he had shown him the promise, when he had shown him who he was, when it was vindicated before their eyes, then he come and he stopped and said, whom do men say I, the Son of Man, am now? To find out where the seed fell. And then some said, oh, Jeremiah. And realize they missed it. Some say John the Baptist is dead. They missed it. Some say Moses, one of the prophets. Now, there was no promise saying Jeremiah was going to come. There was nothing in the scriptures saying Moses was going to come. There was nothing in the scriptures promise that Elijah, John the Baptist, was raised from the dead. So these people were looking for something that was not promised in the scriptures. Right. They weren't correctly taught. Yeah. Right. So here he was now. After he asked a question, he realized the church world had missed his message. Yeah. Right. Though it was correctly and scripturally identified, though it was in God's time and God's season, yet they missed it. So then the time came, he turned here and he turned to the disciples now. And he watched Peter, he said, whom do you say? They were the followers of the revealed word now. Yeah. They were the ones coming from Elijah introduced them to him. And then Peter said, "Thou the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he saw where the good ground was. Then the Bible says, from that time, Jesus began to tell them the hour is coming when the Son of Man will be delivered in the hands of sinful men. So he was watching for that time, you see. And after he knew the seed was laying there, after he saw the elect had caught the revelation who he was, then he knew his ministry was going to make another turn. Amen. So he began to put them under expectation for prophecy. Things that ought to be. Things that is going to happen. Right. To show them, look what we're moving into this hour. Begin to expect these things. Yeah. And as the word began to open up, a part of his ministry that was coming, Peter right away blurted out, Lord, only a man touch you. And Jesus, the word, was speaking and showing that the hour is coming. All things have to be fulfilled. The Son of Man have to be delivered up in the hands of sinful men. Amen. They couldn't understand it.
No.
Now what? Because Peter taught the Lord would be negative. To say like this great ministry, we're going to come down to that. We're going to be forsaken. We're going to be delivered up in the hands of sinful men. They're going to actually kill him. When Jesus, that was faith speaking. But sometimes that may look negative to the person who don't know the scriptures. But to Jesus, those things that was going to come that might be hard to the flesh might look unpopular to the crowd who was supposed to be following him. It was going to be even a further vindication. You see, faith could only be anointed by the scriptures. Even though it's something to happen that might be detrimental to us. See? Like where he says he gonna be betrayed. Now, no man likes to be betrayed. Where he says he gonna be rejected. No man likes to be rejected. But when those things begin to happen, instead of he got discouraged, he's been rejected, he's said he's been anointed father.
Amen.
And that was the thing about the prophet. Yes, it hurt him. It hurt him. Close people he had to separate from. Yes, it hurt him. That he had to be spit upon and ridiculed. But when you look in the scriptures, it anchored his soul. So what do you speak about? The time of the rejection of the anointed word. Last night when the service had ended, Brother Sean came to the pulpit and he began to speak and says, "It's on your hands. The blood is on your hands now." And this morning when the service was coming to an end, Brother was saying the same thing again. Because we was conscious that people was brought to
right.
So the word could be delivered to them. What will you do with this Jesus called Christ?
That's right. Amen. That's right. Amen.
But then all these things was appointed.
Amen.
And we know the consequences. We know the all that we are living in.
Right.
From the scriptures.
Right.
Because the word identified right there last night on the very message. We have come down to the hour where the bride will preach the loss.
Amen.
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 And before it happens, there must be a total rejection of you and me.
Amen.
We must come to that place.
Amen. Right.
But when those things, when we come to that place and we come to that experience, it's not to make us melancholy. It's not to make us disillusioned. But seeing that that also was a sign to identify us, a certain hour has arrived. That we can anoint the very thing that is promised at that time with faith.
Amen.
Look at the prophet in his rejection. He began to anoint the crown of my ministry. He began to, from the Bible. Now it looked like a man at that stage might have been so disillusioned, heartbroken, and full of grief, and maybe try to, you know, go back. And it will compromise so his friends will leave him or something. But in the air, he began to anoint the promise. He says, "Friends, I'm not washed up, I'm washed in. I'm looking for the crowning of this ministry now."
Glory.
September 1962. By December, October, November, December, a vision, a blast and seven angels. By February, it was reality.
Yeah.
By March, the seven seals open up.
Amen. All right, brother. Hallelujah.
You see?
Yes.
So here was Jesus, his first pull. Excuse me.
Yes.
The ministry of the Son of Man, reincarnating the bride, showing forth itself in these last days, as it was promised.
That's right.
That we could see it, and we could look in the scripture, because when the healing part was going on, and the anointing for healing was in the prophet, he went to the scripture and says, "Look, the young rabbi of Galilee."
Yep.
When the anointing was upon to rebuke the organization and discern the spirits and call the sin out,
amen.
He went to the scripture and says, "Look, that is here."
Yes.
When the message came in its fullness, "I and my Father is one. When you see me, you see the Father. Preach, he's the corner of wheat. Except a corner of wheat fall on the ground and die. Serve, you will see Jesus." He came there and he identified that path.
Right. Yep.
When he had come to Pilate's judgment hall, and the church world had rejected him, and religion and politics was coming in a union. He went to the scriptures and showed the same ministry that he healed years ago. Look where it's at. Now all we have to see is where he stopped and the part that is left to be fulfilled. Because when that Son of Man has been revealed, in that conjunction, 1.5 hour is fixed. That winds out the Gentile age.
Amen.
And part of that ministry was left for the bride.
Amen.
He said the church will linger a while after the doors are closed and preach to the lost.
What
he said after the door, the ark thing shut in that seven peak. And that seven peak was his ministry.
Amen.
Those seven peaks, the everlasting sign, was his ministry. That was the ministry of the Son of Man reincarnated in the last days.
Amen.
And he showed at what point point is going to come to its climax and finish before eternity set in. Amen. Then our experience, the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Since God can't abandon his program, since God must work in the same line of the Word, in the same line of the Spirit, since we must see the unchanging continuity of God's Word unfolding in our lives, if we are the continuation of the same Scripture, which we are, then the Holy Spirit knows. He revealed the complete ministry of the Son of Man, what will be, but he didn't fulfill everything in that prophet. He knows that. And he knows when he quickened those seed, he must quicken the mind to the part that is left to be fulfilled. And bring them on the expectation for the interpretation in their own life. Then they will see those things happening to them personally. That inspiration in the very hearts will lead them to the Scripture, to take the Scripture and preach those things. Amen. See? Amen. Because remember, the life of God that was in that prophet and in his bride, the Scriptures written for this hour will identify it. And it will bring to life the Scripture written for the hour. And we know that ministry of the Son of Man in the first poll, healing Jesus, the young rabbi, just like the prophet, started off the earth. And then that first poll contact the people's flesh. Healing, cancers, tumors, cataracts, demonology in the physical realm. See? And he went out the end. You know, people are also elated. See a man walk up in a wheelchair. See a person throw the crutch. See a cataract fall on somebody. Somebody come in a cancer in a little jar with some alcohol. You know, and the eyes see those things. They're contacted by the five senses. You know, man, move them, you know, and they begin to follow these things around. And all that time, Jesus knowing they come for bread and fish. All that time, even knowing the scriptures, which he later quoted even for his own disciples. When he says, smite the shepherd and scatter the sheep. He said, you are not going to forsake me. You see, when the word is in a person, they're not controlled by the human feelings. Amen. It is that word inside of them. Amen. And here Jesus in his first poll going forth, watching the big multitudes, knowing, the prophet says, he knowing, he'd have to thin that crowd down.
That's right.
He said he knew it.
Come on,
see? And he knew just the hour it was going to happen. And then he moved to the second poll, discernment of spirits. And he started there under discernment. And he's calling everyone by the names, Nathaniel and Dora, Israelite whom there's no guile, and woman thy faith of safety. You know, Zacchaeus come up to the tree and all these things, you know. And people have been amazed. Look at that sign. How does that man know these things? But it's going to the spirit now, into the realm of the spirit. Right. They were seeing the same man, Jesus. But the anointing was taking him to another place. Yeah. Just like with the prophet. And then we can see him, even the local assembly, as we all as ministers have come through too. In the local church, every ministry has three pulls.
All right.
See, because the first pull comes to the flesh, stop cutting your hair, take a shave, clean up yourself.
Amen.
Then the second pull goes to the spirit.
Yeah.
See, because under all that nice dress and all these things, sometimes have a temper like a boss. Sometimes on that nice three-piece suit have a spirit of loss or something. And the Holy Spirit have to get down there and God bringing messages, giving the minister specially designed messages. See, to break that demonic influence. See, to bring them to the wilderness, to bring them, you know, out to the second court. Because in the second court, there's a campground star. Oh, they're shouting to jump in church while the man is falling. But only an intellectual conception of Christ. Because the feast don't hold out. So he know you have to take them beyond that veil to get them shut away in that soundproof room. See? So he's coming. He know he's bringing them from Egypt. They're not in Egypt no more. Praise God. He bring them to the Red Sea. Bring them to the Lava. See? Have them in the wilderness. Oh, and they're seeing the brazen pole healing and divine healing. And they see, you know, you know, manna falling, and they seen a water out of the smitten rock, and they seen a lot of the excitement when they come through the air. But when the time of testing comes, because there's not real faith, not real revelation yet. There's a new heart and a new spirit. See? And he's watching that, just like Jesus coming through the air. And looking at James and John one time while he's preaching. And he took them down to a certain place. And he was rejected. And when Jesus was rejected, and they wouldn't let him come into the city to have no meetings. Here's James and John. Lord, they went to the scripture. And they find a scripture in the Bible. Call on fire like Elijah and burn them up. See? But with a scripture of the season, they didn't have knowledge, wasn't quickening them to rightly divide the word. And not having the love of God, they look for something to kind of justify their feelings. To give them, you know, the reason to say what they were saying. And Jesus watched that spirit handling the word that way. And he told me, they don't know what spirit you have. In that second pull there. Seeing inside the very believers of the revealed word. Coming there, a spirit of anger and retaliation and resentment. See? Then you know, the rich young ruler coming there and he watched him too. Master must have eternal life. And from the time he drive up in that chariot and park that chariot and maybe step off and Jesus look at the clothing that he was wearing and the, you know how everything is so designer made and everything. The world just watch him. And the world see through the clothes. Amen. See through the nice, young, well-groomed self. Yes, the world went past that. Amen. And the world went past the religious spirit. Yes. Oh, well, I kept all this since I'm small. And I did this, I did that, and I did the other. And showed us an interest in the world. What must I do to have eternal life? Hallelujah. And the world went way down to the engine room. Down in the control tower. Amen. Amen. And when he went down inside of there, he saw that desire, a worldly taste. Yeah. See, for a lot of religious thought, but his thinking not filtered. Because his soul does not change. Amen. Have a worldly taste, a worldly appetite, right. A worldly craving still. Yeah. That was the same man, the prophet says, who ended up in hell. He was that same man. Amen. When he rejected that word, God began to bless him and prosper him. He built bigger barns, expanded, went on. He said, look, he ended up in hell here because he rejected the leadership of eternal life. Amen. 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 Now watch. And under the second pull here was Jesus with the word coming true, rebuking the organizations under discernment of the spirit, just like a prophet. He said, I found many men who I thought was a cream of the crop. I realized that wasn't spiritual after a while. Yeah. He said, because they have three, four Cadillacs. He said, God bless them. He said, like, prosperity is no sign of God with you. Amen. See? Amen. So here he was watching those things. And in discernment of the spirit, then he began to speak about watching their motives and their objectives. No, to see what they're trying to achieve with their gift. Yeah. And the second part is watching them. Showing them the spirit and the prophet. Yeah. That all seen eye, seen way down, between the soul and the spirit, the bone and the marrow, seen what it had lodged down inside of the air. Right in the local church. Peter and all them one day, coming from a meeting, and the Lord tired and had preached so hard and maybe was hoarse a little bit and, you know, just coming through and trying to get home quickly for a rest. And, you know, they had heard a couple of messages that he was going to go and the hour's coming. His ministry is going to come to a close, given the hands of sinful men. And he noticed them lagging behind. I said, what is this you all are talking about there? Mm-hmm. And they couldn't answer. And right away he discerned the spirit of ambition. Who will be the greatest when you go, Lord? Who will be the man after you? Who will be the one to rise up with the authority and, you know, carry on this walk? And the world watching them before they even get a birth of what they was thinking about. Before they even come to a real surrender, they already was thinking about, you know, power and ambition and, you know, position of importance and where they're going to be. And even the mother came and you know, show where it come from. She wanted them to be right and left next to the Lord when he come in his kingdom. See? And here he was watching them. Another time he was preaching and pass them to maybe one of them cities, you know, Jerusalem, go up to the Passover or something. And here he was, and, you know, they passed down maybe one of them lanes where they have all the caravans. Where the caravans were coming, passing through the city, doing trade and commerce. And then, you know, while they was there, the Lord was, you know, maybe teaching into some, showing them the hour and showing them, you know, what's going to happen, who John was, and the meeting, you know, being challenged by the Pharisees, and there's seven traps for him and different things. And they who were supposed to be helping him wasn't in the atmosphere they were supposed to be in. So what happened? They was caught up there, you know, in a, you know, somebody getting a good bargain, a suit sale, or a cheap chariot, a good second-hand chariot or something, and they get caught up in that. And then the Lord watched him and said, told him, he said, look, is the raiment, look at the lilies of the field, Sunday morning, consider the lilies of the field, Solomon in all his glory, wasn't arrayed like one of these. He said, don't be anxious for it. He said, the lily neither toil nor spin. When people begin to think, you know, a recession and unemployment and this escalating, oh, they're beginning to get anxious now. And they consider the birds. He was watching the human spirit. Yeah. He was watching, so just getting woke up into all the current things like that was happening. Yes. And just pulling them away from an atmosphere of faith where the world is trying to pull them into. Amen. Knowing that we have to face those conditions when they come. That is why we are receiving a faith to bring Jehovah Jireh on the scene. Amen. Because we cannot change those conditions that's coming. The hour coming, you can't buy or sell. He said, you better have the faith to multiply the bread and fishes. Amen. See? Amen. But they didn't realize that they want to speak to them about being hybrid. All these influences, and you know what the economists say, and what this one says, and what that one says, and you know what Business Week says over here, and these talk begin to hybrid them and make them get concerned. And go on the defensive. But Jesus, he never walked around with a bakery. He never walked with a bag of medicine and full of supplies. Went down to pay the taxes. He never, you know, all panic and frustrated. He being the anointed one, knew where he could come from. The Bible says he told them, go and buy some bread. Only to try them and see how they're going to react to the situation. When what they had couldn't meet the demand of 5,000 people. He wanted them to have faith in the anointed word of the hour. But under the second pull, he was discerning the spirit and told them, sufficient is the evil of the day. They were being more anxious in what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, what we're going to do this, what we're going to do that. And when the day is finished, they'll have time to review the day and see where God passed them and what God brought and how they reacted and what was the inspiration when God was trying to speak to them and show them. But they're more trying to live into tomorrow before they even finish today. Very subtly. And then all that time is watching, preaching under the second pole. Discerning the spirits. Bring up the ambition. Bring up the anger. Bring up all the material things. Bring up, clean out the worldly taste. Then he found the whitened sepulchres full of dead men's bones. All them Pharisees. He said, create an impression. Like the uppermost seat in the synagogues. Appearing to be holy. They love the praise of men. See, he was watching all these things. How they wouldn't go in and they would stop others from going in. Go, come past lands to make one proselyte. What was he doing? Discerning the spirits under the second pull. And all that time, they didn't understand that that was the next phase of his ministry. He had to preach that way. It was not him. And then here it is, in the local church right there, sometimes the minister, God has me the second pull to bring the people to the waters of separation. And they don't understand the thing. It's a personal thing against them. They think the minister is against them. But God wants to take them in the inner veil. He wants to take them across Jordan. He brings burners, seraphims, to cleanse them before commission could come. See? And Jesus coming through that time. Then finally, the Bible says in Luke 9, he began to set his face toward Jerusalem. He went back, by the time the crowd had gone. He told the disciples, he challenged them, will you go also?
Come on,
the Lord, to whom shall we go?
Hallelujah.
They were being tested under revelation.
Sure.
Thou hast the words of eternal life.
Yeah.
See, not you do more miracles than everybody else. Because the miracle is vindicating Jesus.
Right.
But the word of eternal life was making them know who they were.
Sure.
Yeah. So they begin to follow him. And here the Bible says he set his face towards Jerusalem. And he began to open up the part of his ministry that was coming. And they couldn't understand him. He was praying different. He said, "My Father, I pray for the world." He said, "Like this man, do have no love." The man was preaching love. Now here the man is praying. Then he said, "Oh Jerusalem, how often I gathered thee as a hen that gathered a brood, but you would not." Because what he was preaching, where he was conscious, he had come to, where he knew they missed the hour. He was manufacturing that. He knew he was the Messiah. He knew to miss him. He knew they had the opportunity. He knew the church rejected him.
Yeah.
See? He began to open the scriptures as Jonah. After one season, preaching about Moses, calling the Exodus, being out of Judaism. No doubt. And preaching there, you know, in Joseph most prisoner and his brothers receiving visions and dreams and different things. Now the Holy Spirit had him focused into Jonah. And Jesus began to see his death. It was a scripture began to open up to reveal to him his death and resurrection.
Right.
And the Spirit began to anoint him and show him, that is you, that is the resurrection.
Amen.
And he began to preach that mystery of himself out to Jonah, how greater than Jonah is here. Are greater than Solomon is here when he was under discernment, showing them, look, the queen of the south, come all the miles to see the discernment of Solomon.
Amen.
But now he had moved from Solomon, he'd moved into Jonah. A resurrection time, a time of dying and being buried. He began to look into Psalms 118 and began to preach. The builders reject the cornerstone. Is the Lord doing it marvelous in our eyes?
Amen.
The Bible said the people knew he was saying that parable about them. Because he was telling them how this man leased up this land. And he sent servants to warn the prophets coming all the way down. Finally, the man sent his son. And look, he was going to stone him and kill him. And he, by preaching, began to reveal the very thoughts that he was conspiring to kill him when it all comes. But and then he took it right back into the scriptures.
Yeah.
The Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes.
Amen.
The builders have to reject the cornerstone.
Amen.
You see, he was watching every step and he was coming. But the disciples didn't even understand the message. He was preaching these things, but they didn't know what was going on.
Right.
They was hearing him praying. They didn't know the agony of his soul.
Amen.
But why was he behaving that way? It's because he was conscious from the scriptures, the program of God, the hour he had come to.
Right.
And look at that prophet Sam there. Who do you say this is? There's a man that can turn the light. A greater than Solomon is here. And they thought little evangelistic messages. But he was bringing them up to the very hour, what was happening. He knew the ministry that was inside of him. Many times he's found and showing the Bible, the last part of every great ministry preaches to the eternal loss. He says, look at Jesus when he started out. Look when I came out there, up in Regina, went in from the first book to the second Paul. Look afterwards, there he says, look how it happened, you know, out there in the woods that time, when he told him the ministry is going to get greater. And it came to the spoken word, and he was testifying, showing them. He said, you in Phoenix, I remember 16 years ago when I came on the field and I told you, you know, how the ministry God told me is going to get greater, and look where we are now. And they wasn't interested. But to the bride, we see every step what was happening.
Oh, yes.
We see how he's coming along.
Amen.
We see the very prayer of the prophet 1965. He stood there and trying to do God a service. He said, Lord, I can't pray for the stalk. They are dead, but I pray for the grain. See? Until he's out of be. He's praying. Yeah. He said, Lord, I can't pray for the world. They are dead. He said, I didn't pray for America no more.
Amen.
See? Why? Because since he told him 1956, he says something's going to happen. Maybe this year America's going to get a last chance.
Right.
He said, look, all of us, Billy Graham, myself, we had to cancel all our overseas meetings. We couldn't leave the country at all. He said, this year was the last year. We're going to finish. Then way back in Sultan prison, he said, remember when I told you that America's going to get the last chance? And I preached that message that morning, Elijah, coming on bald head, walking into the White House. Now, to people, it doesn't follow what's happening. But to him, he lived in that world. He lived in that world.
Amen.
It was real to him.
That's right.
The scriptures were being personalized. It was so strong that he forget he's a Kentuckian. When he got inspired, he spoke in the first person.
Amen.
He went back to the scripture and says, he says, look, if David spoke in the first person in the Old Testament, God above us. And the New Testament, God with us. He said, now we're living in the dispensation, God in us.
Yeah.
And if in the Old Testament, when it was God above us, they spoke in the first person, they pierced my hands and my feet.
Yeah.
He said, how much more will we speak in the first person in this very hour? But the people don't understand, he that is in you, what it is, what is happening. But here the bride, the scripture bride, who have been quickened, that soul, which was the very word predestinated, the word written for the hour. And now as that life grows and expresses itself, it opens up the written word that was a mystery that could not be preached or explained except by the people who are the interpretation of that very word. Then it separates in this hour. You see all those preaching something that happened back in the past.
I know.
And we see the life unfolding down, unfolding to the present hour. The very same ministry, the Son of Man, started healing. The healing was finished. The discernment was finished. The spoken word was vindicated, said Matthew 21. Speak to this mountain, he told them. Said Matthew 24, he opened the seven seals. Then the prophet come and identified the rest of it. He said, St. Matthew 27, 50, when he was smitten on the cross, he cried a loud voice. He said, that's the voice of the archangel. St. Matthew 28, the sleeping saints arose. Bible said, the last trump, the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. And here's Luke 23, Jesus, between the opening of the word. Amen. And the preaching to the lost. He was beaten that time. He was beaten the shout and the trump. He stood there and heard a word standing in Pilate's judgment hall. It was bound.
Amen.
The healing revival was finished by that time.
Right.
The great discernment that had him spelled on the platform was over.
Amen.
The great multitude that followed the meeting from place to place had gone.
Yeah.
And Jesus knew that hour was going to come. And by revelation, he had opened it up to them, telling them the hour is going to come and the Son of Man was going to be delivered in the hands of sinful men.
Yeah.
Hear what he had preached, what he had put them on the expectation of, what was still yet a prophecy. He was now under the inspiration of those very things coming to pass. What he had taught was happening to him. What he had taught about himself, he had walked into it. And here we've been preaching these past years of this hour. And failing that we have walked right into this very hour. Our very teaching is being made manifest.
Amen.
What we have taught, that people misses it. Now, because the disciples was going over their head, he told them, go and get a donkey at a certain place. They didn't realize what was happening. They went for the donkey. See? And he wrote in the end, all of it was happening, the Bible says, after they realized what he was saying.
Amen.
See, they were missing a turn. They were missing what was happening. And here we see in the scriptures, just before the public crucifixion of the world, St. Luke 23, Jesus standing there at the end of his ministry. He wasn't going to go and have no great healing revival no more. That was finished. He wasn't going to have another ministry of discernment. That was finished.
Amen.
It was a change in a time. It was a change in a ministry.
Amen.
He had laid aside discernment. And here he was, and the soldiers were spitting on him, and they were beating him, and they were pulling his beard saying, who hit you? Who hit you? Prophesy! Trying to get him to revive back that ministry. But that he had laid aside the second pole to get the third pole. He had already preached that all was going to come. Now Isaiah 53, he was done before his sharers. Now what? He didn't teach it and then reacted different to what he taught. His word was spirit and life. It was living in him first before he spoke it. It was real to him. That when he stood there, and Pilate, the carnal man, he says, look, I could detect what is happening. These two is false witnesses, they conspire against you. They have no case, have no foundation. Say something, defend yourself. Yep. Get yourself out of this. Mm-hmm. But he had to lose that battle. Right. Even though that human part might want to, show them, under the pain, under the persecution, under the rejection. Yet the Bible says he was done before his sharers. Because he was anointed with his teaching. His behavior was revealing what he was teaching was a revelation in his life. His behavior. Now watch. And that very hour, here we see the church world, as the prophet says. The chief priests and the people, they begin to come and get into a union with Pilate. They couldn't kill him. So they had to come to the state. And church and state was coming together at all. Religion and politics was being united. And here all the people who had been influenced by the religious leaders to reject Elijah, to reject Jesus. The word that Elijah introduced. They begin to cry, crucify him. Yeah. Because those demon spirits that was in those swine was coming back upon them. Amen. To bring a total rejection of the word. Right. Yeah. That time had come for him. Yeah. But what's something? No, because remember, our time today is Jesus. That's the ministry of the Son of Man. Still continuing. Amen. Amen. We can finish out with him. Now watch. So here he was. And while he stood there, he could look out there and see the church world and Pilate. And they begin to say, we have no king but Caesar is our king. Begin to claim Rome as the headship. Begin to bring yourself under the dominion of that Roman power. Yeah. And Jesus, knowing, he already revealed himself as the resurrection and the life. He had already shown that voice that called out from the grave was going to call those who was waiting there for him. He knew he was going to Jerusalem to bring them up. But the Bible says, all came, he said, fastly set his face towards Jerusalem. You couldn't get him to go nowhere else. He canceled every meeting out. He was heading to Jerusalem because he knew his ministry was going to come to its complete fulfillment. And the very season, the very hour we have come to, we know we have come out to this place where the last part of that ministry that is revealed and is waiting 20 years for to be manifested, we have come to it. But look at him here, the word, it looks bound. It looked defeated. It looked powerless. But with supreme power and control. Because he was displaying the kind of power, not in performing miracles now, but in overcoming himself totally. And they didn't know that was power. Amen. To be falsely accused. And he's anointed by the scriptures in Isaiah 52, and he prayed in Gethsemane, sweat like drops of blood, and an angel ministered to him. Just like Elijah before he stood Paul under the juniper tree, before he went up into the cave. An angel appeared on the scene with meal cakes and water. And here Jesus being strengthened, knowing that going to the last part of his ministry, he had to receive that strength. Because the very disciples there, they were there, but they was unaware of what was happening. The spoken word had been vindicated. The opening of the word, St. Matthew 24, the seven seals, the shout had happened. He was coming to the voice of the resurrection in the public crucifixion, to the raising of the sleeping saints. And between the shout and the trump, here he stood. In a changing of time and a changing of ministry, when religion and politics was gathering together, when those spirits come upon those people, and hate and envy and jealousy that was concealed was now being openly expressed against the word. Not been openly expressed against the world because the hour had come. And yet they tried to get him to put on a show, but he wouldn't do it.
Right.
Now watch. And in that very hour that we have come down to here, many don't understand is a change in that time. Many don't understand the former things have come to pass. The forsaken time for him had come. But he knew he was moving in the crown of his ministry. As defeated as you're looking at all, he knew within a few days the power that was going to manifest it. All power in heaven and earth. He knew he was fixing at that stage to enter into a ministry, the voice of the resurrection. He knew it. He had already revealed himself as that voice. Now, what's something? And when the word appeared to be defeated, it stood there. The great multitudes were no longer following. They were no longer following in boats from sea to sea trying to go behind them. They're no longer tearing the roof off. It didn't have them kind of meetings no more. The word is bound. Even the close followers, like Pete and them, you know, who used to be in charge of the meetings and give the master a chance, he's kind of tired, you know, and they're breaking the bread and going and saying, you know, and even some of them get so charged up that they rebuke the word. How do you mean somebody touch you? Look at people that is here. When the Lord said, somebody touch me.
Yeah.
Now, where was Peter? He was following afar off. He was no longer in the front line. All the great front line leaders that are along the Son of Man there. There's nowhere around now. Well, was John? He ended up streaking. Running for his life.
Amen.
They proclaim great loyalty. There are times when the crowd is big, the someone says, Lord, only a man touch, I'll die for you first. It looked good in public, it impressed a lot of people.
Yeah.
It looked patriotic to the word.
Yeah.
A lot of people cry when they're emotionally moved.
Yeah.
But it's a different hour.
Yeah.
The word that Elijah introduced. They didn't understand where it was coming up to. And in that hour, when even the closest disciples were falling afar off, when the world looked bound and slapped around by the religious leaders, when it seems that it couldn't produce the miracles that it became popular and famous for, the same word at one time called out the religious leaders and challenged them, why didn't they poke us? It seemed like they had the upper hand on it now. And to many people who didn't understand the hour, they thought it looked like a failure. Many people tried to revive back the old days because they wasn't following the continuity of the word and didn't know those this time was spoken from the word. We had to come to it. Amen. Look at Herod. He desired to see Jesus. For a long time, but not to be edified, not to be strengthened, not to become a Christian with a spirit of entertainment. He wanted to be entertained. He so desired to see him. Now when he revealed what came in his midst, he wanted that word to entertain him. He'd been asked once of the irrelevant questions, and the word turned around to him. I won't answer him a word. Because they had time to fool around with politicians. Pilate, right there in the very same hour between the shout and the trump, around the revealed word that Elijah introduced, when religion and politics is coming together, when the world is coming to a complete rejection, when it's embunged and defeated, just before he had entered into the ministry of the preaching of the lost and the voice of the resurrection, in that changing of time, when it looked like nothing hardly was happening, exciting no more. In that hour, look at the spirits that was around the world. Look at the close believers. Look at all the great frontline personalities. But the word come right in his midst. And when the word come to his midst, in that hour, it was an issue involved. An issue concerning the revealed word. And his reputation, his public image, was too much. He didn't want to get involved. He tried to be like a peaceable man to make peace. But God was forcing the issue, and he couldn't bypass it. And he tried to play politics with the revealed word. Pass it on to Herod. He didn't want to get involved. And Herod, he wanted entertainment. He wanted to make a show, set up some meetings, entertain the crowd, be a nice person, ask a lot of things. But Jesus wasn't on that. Then watch. Then finally, it came during that season, there's also Judas, a spirit of business, wanted to make a profit off the revealed word.
Amen.
Coming along and watching the world, but you begin to see something you can promote. Amen. Something to advertise and export. Amen. Something to get rich off of. And then we see those spirits around the revealed word in the very hour. Something that someone to monopolize and franchise. And they franchise certain parts of the message. This part, and they label it as their own. And they take this part and they franchise it. They label it as their product. Amen.
Glory.
Look at the spirit of entertainment around the revealed word in this hour. You say, brother, is that true? It's in the Bible.
Right.
As put the education and get a hold of the message, and it produced schools.
Yep.
And the scholars come out.
Yep.
And the message theologians come out.
Yep.
And they try to school the people into the Holy Ghost.
Yep.
Then the spirit of entertainment come out and become a big concert.
Yep.
Platform performances.
Amen.
It produced personalities. It produced heroes.
Yeah.
It produced little idols. Amen. It becomes something on a stage.
Yeah.
I know America loves entertainment.
Yeah.
Amen. For someone to be nice and get over good to them, you have to entertain them a little bit. You have to entertain the spirits and make them feel just nice. See?
That's right, brother.
See?
You got it paid right there.
Then the spirit of politics. And out there come the great organizers, the great builders of the little kingdoms and the empires, the dictators and the rulers rising up. Amen.
Amen.
See, and they make politics out of the message.
Right.
The revealed word, look at Pilate, all them. Had it in his hand before he accepted it and get involved with it. He was watching his image, and he's trying to play with politics on the side.
Yeah.
Little did he know, he was actually rejecting it and was going to go into insanity.
Right.
Come on.
He didn't know he's crossing the line.
Right.
Amen.
Come on, brother. Amen.
He didn't realize it was a serious hour.
Yeah.
He thought, well, that was just those people, they're trying to force something on me and put me in a spot, and I have enough wisdom to get myself out of that. And that's the way he was seeing it. And he failed to realize what he was confronted with. I am seeing that happen in the Bible, between the shout and the trump. Between Jesus opened the word in St. Matthew 24 and St. Matthew 27 with the voice of the resurrection. And the prophet said, look, it comes in a shout voice and trump here, and he said over here.
Yeah.
And look at the spirits around the revealed word. Look at the great believers, the patriotic ones, who used to go ahead and set up the meetings and do different things. At that time, they've fallen afoul. Yeah. Denying the association even with the revealed word.
Amen.
Peter said, never even know that man.
All right, yeah.
And Jesus, in the midst of all those things, had to be locked in and not shaken out. But walking into the ministry that he knew was going to come in that squeeze.
Amen. Amen.
When he was going to the preaching to the lost, and while he began to go toward Jerusalem, and they began to follow him, he turned to the churches, daughters of Jerusalem. Maybe you can say churches of America.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Amen, sure.
But I said, yeah, in Laodicea, they crucified.
Amen.
Jerusalem, most holy place.
That's right.
And was beginning to get emotional. And right there between the rejection of the word and the public crucifixion, Jesus injects a prophecy. He says, they're always going to come. He'll say, blessed are the barren. And you're going to scream for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon you, which is Revelation 6, verse 12.
Yes.
And the prophet says, that is this hour they're coming.
Amen.
Those who reject the word now, they're going to go into insanity.
Right.
All these imaginary things are going to move into it.
Right.
Because they fail to realize the hour that we are at and what they are faced with.
Right.
They thought they didn't want to get involved. It looked a certain way. In that very hour, he's coming on the air. All the shame of the revealed word that was covered up.
That's right.
Was being exposed in public view now.
Yes,
and the word was fully pinned down.
Lord,
he was nailed down. He couldn't move. He couldn't go anywhere.
Right.
It looked so weak. And that's the time the religious leaders, they rise up to the fullest. And begin to put out challenges. Come down from the cross if you is the one. And they rarely begin to show the colors in that hour. And in that hour, when the disciples, the close ones, forsake the revealed word, when the world looked bound and rejected and weak and powerless and wasn't producing the things it produced in the former times, and it baffled men and they couldn't understand the hour, and the politicians playing politics with it, and the entertainers wanted to use it for entertainment, and the business spirits begin to advertise and export it and bottle it up and franchise it and monopolize it. And the educators begin to school people into it.
Yeah.
In that very hour, the world was fixed on one thing. He was walking right into that very ministry.
Right.
The meal was coming in two sticks. Here he was coming down to the hour when that ministry was going to come into operation. Because that was when he cried a loud voice. The sleeping saints arose. They didn't come out yet, but they arose. I believe every one of them stood to their feet. Down inside that other dimension. The ministry in this dimension escalated into a place until it contacted those in the other dimension.
Yes.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
At that point in time, when that happened, that ministry went into operation right there.
Amen.
And right there, the prophet comes and puts it back in that very hour. And what's something here? Right there in that very hour, when the revealed word, shame was being exposed, and the disciples were falling afar off, and looked defeated and powerless and bound, here was the dying thief. And many times we say the dying thief, we put that man on a deathbed confession. But let me tell you something. That man had great faith. That man, look at that word. He didn't see Lazarus raised. He didn't see him break the bread of 55,000. He saw the world when it looked the weakest. He saw the world when it looked most defeated. He saw the world when all the shame was exposed to the public. In public view, it couldn't be hid no more. He saw the world being challenged and humiliated by religious leaders. And he could step out to be identified with the revealed word that Elijah introduced in that hour. Just before he entered into the preaching to the lost and the resurrection, the last ones and tourists that was coming, it wasn't much, no big crowd, but they had the type of faith they could step out to be identified with the revealed word in that condition.
Amen.
See? Now, if this has been identified with the promised word for the hour, the Son of Man being revealed, his same ministry, from his rejection until he comes to the completion of that ministry. And from the opening of the word, 1963-1965, the shout, the opening of seven seals, St. Matthew 24, coming right down to the public crucifixion, St. Matthew 27, the voice of the resurrection. During that time, as we have come to, look what is happening around the revealed word. Look how it appears. Look what it looks like. But Jesus, look how he was anointed. He was so in control of every situation. Amen. Even though he was bound, even though he was being spit upon, he was manifesting power in a different way now. Amen. And here it was. He stood there, but he was fixed. He knew what he was walking into. He knew what was going to come. And the Bible says, he who for the joy that was set before him despised the shame. When that shame rise up to him like that, and he felt so humiliated, and he looked so bad before the public eyes, and maybe believers could be shaking the mind. Because a shame is one that makes people retaliate many times. Yeah. Yeah, they like to look bad, especially before the public. Come on. That's where they put out our best image. Yeah. And that's where he's being stripped. Before that ministry come into operation. Amen. And when that was happening to him, he stood there and Paul says in Hebrews 12, he despised the shame. Hallelujah. He resented that shame that tried to come to influence him different to how he should behave at all. He stayed under the anointing of the scriptures, knowing what part of his ministry was, and was not embarrassed because he knew he had faith in his revelation. He knew the very ministry he was lingering there before that low voice comes out. Before the masterpiece was smitten so he could speak. Waiting there. Even those moments he stood there because he had already preached it. But now he's walking into it. What he had preached was a reality to him. He was under the inspiration of it. He was living it out. So look where we are at. The time of the rejection of the world. It comes to the church first, then went to the state, then the nation. The prophet says to the entire world. Revelation 13 says in the last days, except a man take the mark of the beast, you're going to buy or sell. You're going to come back to money. Come back to economics. And here, everyone is going to be pressurized into taking sides against the revealed word. That is the very spirit of the age, of the spirit of the hour, the darkness that has been loose and moving upon the people. The prophet says, it's pressing them to do evil. That's right, brother. The harder they preach the words again, it's coming to a place to actually the whole nation cried out, crucify him. That's right. That spirit take over all the people. And that is the very spirit that's trying to have wormed its way into the message. And even trying to press believers into rejecting the word that's coming to them. Yeah. But that rejection, you know what I'm going to say? That's the devil. You can reject it so too. But Pilate, he didn't want to get involved. He didn't want his image tarnish. He tried to play a little party. He tried to pass it off to somebody else. He didn't see whether, you know, I have to commit myself to that.
Amen. Come on.
And he tried three schemes, the prophet says. The first one, he passed the buck, put on Herod. He don't want to get involved.
Right.
It come right back to him. He tried to compliment the world. I think you have a nice church here, Brother Shannon. I think you have some nice services.
Yeah, I heard that.
I think it was pretty good, you know, and I just like how it was orderly, and I find no fault in it. You have a good thing going there for you.
Come on.
Amen!
Yeah.
But Jesus didn't need sympathy. He didn't need good words and pats in the back. You see? Because in fact, I find a fault in it. It looked like he was being complimentary to the revealed word. But he wasn't making a decision. And then, oh, you have to make a decision. And then, the next thing you do, he had to turn around and pass the sentence. He either had to accept it or reject it. Because it dropped back into his hands, and he had to condemn him afterwards. You're a part of it. And the prophet says, he never got him off his hands. He went into insanity. Amen. And here it is, Jesus putting back the same prophecy between his rejection and his public crucifixion. When the ministry repeats again in the evening time, which is in the coming and what we have come to, then here we see the people, the world, moving into in that insanity because of rejection of the word.
Amen.
Not realizing that they wanted for entertainment. And that is the spirit of the fight over us, to want to be entertained. A spirit of politics, we have to try to keep away from that. To organize it and bottle it up and then here it is to get educated into it and school into it. And just make it a theoretical something. All the spirits are only revealed with it. In that hour, when religion and politics is coming together. When the darkness is pressing the people into rejection. When it will even come upon believing and have them falling far away back. Denying the word. But Jesus, he was about the Father's business. Still in that hour.
That's right.
He was determined to finish that course. That was his meat. My meat is to finish this work. And we have been given the last part of this ministry to fulfill. We must come to that place to be our meat in this very hour. Let us stand to our feet.
Glory.
Amen.
Then if that word is him, then our attitude towards the word is our attitude towards him. Then our respect for the word is our respect towards him. Then our love for the word is our love for him.
Amen.
You see? And we must love that word so much that we must be willing even to die first than to bring a reproach upon it. Because that spirit that is loose right now is pressing people into rejection. If your image means so much to you, you might find yourself even on the put aside the word to keep your image before the public. If it's just going to be school into it, be asking a lot of questions, I want to get just get school into it. But Jesus didn't have time to fool around with that. See, he never had an inferiority complex. He looked powerless. Because he wasn't a stage performer. He was facing reality. He had preached his own disciples that always going to come. And he was in it and he was living it out. And that is where, here we are on the verge of that ministry. In a changing of time. And changing the ministry. The bride ministry is changing around the world. You're going to change around the world. And people are going to come through those doors. And I was thinking, what I wanted to preach instead of this message was Joseph coming to prison. I feel that God had you all in the basement all these years. But when he brought him out, he brought him to a ministry of power.
Amen.
The visions he had been revealed him way back down was coming to pass.
Amen.
He had seen it. And he stood the end of that hour. And he cried, bring on the holy vesture.
Amen.
They brought the robe, they brought the ring, all these things.
Glory.
And that is when his brothers really get to know him, who misunderstood him for his visions, his revelations.
Amen.
See, and here Jesus, the very thing that you have come to, in this hour, people are going to walk through those doors, and it wouldn't be man they're dealing with. It wouldn't just be a people they're dealing with. God have done something, and we want to be so focused into it.
That's right.
Just be so anointed with the spirit of the scripture itself. To know that that scripture becoming personalized inside of us. That the very thing you have to go through, it won't be easy. It'll be rough. So much more rough for you believers in this country. Because the prophet said, out of this nation, Revelation 13, is a America in prophecy. This nation.
Right.
The bomb is for this nation.
Amen.
And this is the place you see the hardest in the gospel is dying out. It's a death is sweeping through the land.
Amen.
See? If you all maybe had the privilege to travel, some of you are going to the West Indies and going to Africa and go to all these places, you see, same message, but it's a different kind of people.
Lord,
see, And only there you may be able to, unless you don't believe the truth and get it by inspiration, by revelation, by having your life so consecrated and channeled to receive from God, then you'll be able to know, look what happened all around you. Yeah. And be able to have the resistance to keep that off of you.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you'll have to be exposed to other people in the same message. To see what that message is producing.
Amen.
And doing among believers. But I believe here right in the local church here, God has something special. It's like, like the Easter flower sheltered under the rock. All the poison gases kill out everything. But when that man turned over that rock, it was an Easter flower.
Hallelujah.
You see, it was resurrection time and there's nothing to give testimony.
Amen.
Of the resurrection.
Amen.
It was Easter time, the Easter seal was pulled back. And an Easter flower, a
Amen.
Voice of the resurrection,
Lord,
was coming forth after 20 years of poison gases, of wickedness and malice and man's eyes and interpretation, killed out everything almost in the message. Here is a little Easter flower rising up. It was sheltered by the rock. To give testimony that it's Easter time. It's resurrection time. It's the hour we have come to the voice of the resurrection. God is rolling back now. He's opening up. You can stand this hour. The ministry here. I believe it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heavenly Father. Lord, it might be different. But I pray that your Holy Spirit would take what I've been said and make sense out of it, Lord, for your people. Lord, that we who are walking by faith in the bloody footprints laid out for us in the sands of time, Lord, by revelation, walking into this last part of this ministry of the Son of Man. Father, what has been revealed in our hearts, motivating us, inspiring us, pushing us on onward, regardless of circumstances, not taking it into consideration, but Lord, looking for the fulfillment of what you promised. I pray, Father, this would be shed abroad in every heart tonight. The Lord will take the scripture into consideration. We take the ministry of the Son of Man, repeating itself again into consideration. Lord God, we look at the circumstances. We look at the lives of those who are around the revealed word. All the different spirits. Spirits of ambition, anger. Lord, spirits, Lord, of money and popularity. Spirits of politics and education. Spirits, Lord, of entertainment and all these things around the revealed word. But Lord, we who are a type of you today, Lord, walking, our meat is to do your will. To finish this work, Father.
Amen.
And I pray tonight that these words that have been spoken, Lord, just be nourishment. Lord, that the faith is resident inside of your people, Lord. Lord, to write them out. And that perfect faith in a perfect God who made a perfect promise in his perfect word. Knowing, Father, it's a changing time. It's a changing of ministry. Many cannot seem to move with that change. Your prophet told us that we had to wait all these years until that catches up with this. But Lord, here you are coming back around to pick up the very place that you said we couldn't go further. Now we are fixing to make that further step. Heavenly Father, make it so plain. The Lord, you're going to be a question of our hearts. But Lord, we'll walk with steps of assurance. And regardless of what confronts us, Father, we'll be under the inspiration of your word. Living out a lie that people see the token on display. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and for these people here. And Lord, what you have done in their lives and what you have made of them in this hour. And the service that we have had. And Lord, what have been ministered tonight. I pray we'd go and we think about it, Lord. And Lord, we look at the days that is coming ahead. And we walk into it with faith. Knowing that to walk with you, we have to walk alone. It's a time when many won't understand. But Lord, it's prisoners. Those that are locked in. Shut in that secret place with you, Lord. Where it is not them, but it's you living inside of them. For you did say in this day, as you are in the Father and the Father in you, so we will know it. It's you in us and we in you. And what we have seen happening, what we've seen taking place around us, Father, it shows the continuation. It's the same Holy Spirit. It's the unchanging continuity of your word. and inspires our faith, Lord, to press on forward. May everyone be strong and of a good courage, knowing the days that are coming, Lord, will be hard. The bride will be pressed until she's all pressed out. Oh God, we can feel that crushing already setting in. But Lord, that's to bring such a new ministry, Lord. Blessed be your wonderful name. We thank you for it, Lord. You lead us and you guide us. Your brothers thus far, we have the confidence. We have the desire to remain obedient. And we know you would finish the work that you started. So Father, we commit ourselves into your hands. And we thank you for the time we have spent. And what you have spoken unto us tonight. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you. The 26th.
Why don't you be seated for the being that you come? We've heard something. I hope you're up and responding to it. I don't know about you, but my flesh trembles. And I know my only answer. Deny the flesh more. We're all different. We all have our own way that the flesh cries out, but if my flesh is weak in one area, will it not be weak when the hour comes? So why? Just deny it now. And then when Jesus got to that hour, no matter how much he hurt physically, emotionally, right? His believers were gone. His friends, his brothers and sisters, they were gone. He hurt emotionally, he hurt physically. And not only that, he had to suffer the rejection of the Father himself. Now, you want to be a part of his resurrection. Be a part of his death.
Amen. That's right.
You can't have one without the other. The brother spoke truth, and he spoke with many spirits in the message.
Amen. You can see that very plainly.
Amen. And they press in. 2,000 press in every day. And it's a challenge. Good message tonight, huh? Amen. I can't imagine it getting better. I can't imagine. But maybe God's going to bring us something more to be able to give us the faith that we'll make it in that hour.
Amen.
We know we've come to it.
Pay the price.
You know, but a beautiful message.
Amen.
And I hope you have the faith. And what's it going to be? Like you said, well, like Brother Branham said, and I just brought that out just a couple weeks ago. What is power? Real power is to conquer yourself. All the little ways that you don't obey the word. What hinders you from obeying the word?
That's right.
What hinders you from paying your tithe and offering? Self? There's something in you that instead of giving it to God, you want it for yourself. You know, no matter what it is. And when that hour comes, what do you got to be afraid of? Yourself. None of you will get in my way, I guarantee it. You won't hinder me one bit. It'll be me only. And in that hour, I won't have no excuses. None of my enemies, those that have blasted me and called me the Pope and all that, they don't hurt me. They can't hurt me in that hour.
Right.
It'll be me only.
Amen.
I have some praying to do. Amen. And I've been there before. right back in the beginning when I believed that God was three, been taught, thought I was baptized right. No different. It just means Lord to us. One more step.
Number 151.
Plenty for you to eat downstairs, and we hope you'll stay and fellowship with us and eat with us. And you know, we got to stretch this out as long as we can. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You're really going home, huh? I'll make you say it. I'm mean, aren't I? Hallelujah. Amen.
My Lord.
We get busy, we'll be back together again. You know that? Get busy. Unite ourselves, ma'am. Bring it on. Hallelujah. Amen. How many gonna miss Brother Gregory?
Amen.
Yes. Amen. How many gonna miss Sister Gregory?
Yeah, amen.
Wow.
Right
on. Right on. And that's right. Praise the Lord. She'll be plotting now. Hallelujah. We want to have the Gregory's in the Missouri church up this summer. And he said he wouldn't be back for a year, but that's a lie. And we want to have him back out when it's nice, warm weather. He's been here all the time in the cold weather. And I don't know whether that'll be before or after he and I go down to Trinidad. Man, if he preaches this away from home, what's he preaching home? Man. Hallelujah.
It'll be a treat.
Oh, my. You know, the problem is, if he and I go down there, he and I preach. That wouldn't be no treat. Be a treat for me to hear him. But. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us pray.
My Lord.
Heavenly Father, we thank you. We know it was you.
We know who spoke, Lord.
Lord, we hear you. Oh, Lord, how often I've asked you to talk to me. How often I've asked you to lead me and guide me. And so many times in my weakness, I've asked you for assurances that you love me. I'm sorry. I'm a foolish man. Lord, that be privileged to hear what I heard tonight is all I need. Amen. Lord. My Lord, it don't slay me. It don't kill me. It scares me, but it don't kill me. For I have faith that for this hour I came.
Right.
And Lord, it wasn't me that got me here. It wasn't me that got this church. It's not me that Lord, it's not going to be me take us in. No matter what they say about my headship doctrine, my headship is you.
Amen.
Has always been that.
Amen.
My people know that. We've looked to you from day one. And we'll look to you to get us out of here. But Father, there is something about you that you like working in flesh.
Yes.
It'll bring great glory to you and great honor. And we'll marvel, Lord, at how you were able to do it. But we believe that it's you, Lord, the good shepherd, that will lead us home. Amen. Father, we thank you for brethren and all that have come. We trust that those that came on Friday and Saturday and this morning, we trust that you're still with them. Your spirit's hovering over them and convicting them, and they can't get it out of their minds what the preacher said. We trust, Lord, that they're uncomfortable. They don't have peace. Oh, Lord, we trust that. That's part of our vision, Lord. And that they'll do something, Lord, to get peace. And not just reprobate minds. Father, thank you for the food that you've given to us so kindly. And may you bless it now as we go to partake of it and strengthen our physical bodies. Lord, we sure do love this meal that you fed us tonight. Oh, how we love it, Lord. How we thank you. Father, we love you and praise you and thank you. And we ask that you would bless the great Reese as they return home. Every time we've got a part, Lord, a part of us goes with them. Lord, we can't keep this up much longer. You'll have to come. You'll have to come, Lord. Father, may you bless the bride in Missouri. Let that church grow into the identity of Jesus Christ. May they learn the concept of feminine and masculine. That's all headship is. Feminine and masculine.
Amen.
We've got to learn it, Lord, now. So that when we get over there, Lord, we'll be able to wait upon you hand and foot. Serve you, Lord, like a true wife. Bless them and give them Godspeed. And, Lord, I hope they're glad they came. I knew you would bless them, Lord. And their church. And, oh, Lord. It won't be long, will it? And we are all together again and never depart. Father, go with us now and continue to speak to Brother Dial. Let him know what he's to speak here. Let him know, Lord, what we need to hear. Father, go with us. Help us to have faith to deal with ourselves. Conquer ourselves, Lord. That when we come to that hour that the brother spoke of, and that we may already be there, Lord, that we can conquer ourselves. And all the spirits around us won't influence us from our path to do what we must. Father, we love you and we thank you now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Go downstairs. Once again, now.